Okay, Mr. Fiji Nakil, the mic is yours. The first interference the debate between you and our brother Sam. You've got 15 minutes. Get the mic there.
Okay, thank you very much for this opportunity to share with everyone here from the Bible. I really do count it a privilege whenever I have the chance to speak from the Word of God. And today, the topic is a distinction that's being made by Mr. Wee-Sam between the gospel of Jesus and the gospel, as Mr. Wee-Sam says, of the Apostle Paul. And there is no such distinction in the Bible between the writers of the Word of God. The Bible is one cohesive whole. It is all the Word of God. Every jot and every tittle, every word in the original manuscripts is the very Word of God. It is perfect. It is inerrant. There are no mistakes. There certainly are no lies. Everything is absolutely true and trustworthy, and it is something that a sinner can hang his life upon. It's something that a man can lean upon, and it will support him forevermore. Unlike any other writings of men, no other writing in all the world can hold a candle. It cannot compare to the writing of the Word of God, the Bible. Now we know, and let me just establish this before we get into looking at the Apostle Paul's role and his position. We know that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, this statement is made. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There's no cutting up the Scriptures and dividing them. There's no making a difference between what Paul has written or what God has moved Peter to write or what God has moved Jeremiah or Isaiah to write. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God moved holy men of old. And that's the next verse I want to go to in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 20 and 21. It says there, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so whenever we find a writing, and this is very important for us to know, whenever we find a verse in the Bible, and the Bible is 66 books, Genesis through Revelation, and everything therein. There's no other holy writings. There's no other books of the Bible that are missing. We have the complete Word of God, the Bible in its entirety. And whenever we find a verse within the pages of the Bible, it was penned, yes, initially by men. Paul was used of God to write. Moses was used of God to write. David and Solomon were used of God to write. But we have to always keep in mind that these men were moved by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By God Himself. By the Spirit of God. And so it is the Word of God. God takes full responsibility. God takes full credit for everything that is written in the Bible. And And whenever we're going to say, well, now, Paul taught a different gospel than that of Jesus, and Mr. Wiesen is not alone in making that kind of a statement, or even certain so-called Christians that dare to divide up the Word of God in that kind of a manner. But they are not doing so with God's blessing, that's for sure. They're not doing so with God's okay. They're doing that contrary to what the Bible says. We're never to start looking at the Bible in that kind of a way. And the Bible is one book, one author, finally and ultimately, who is God himself. And so, therefore, if we read something that Jesus said, that's the Word of God. Or if we read something in Ephesians, or Galatians, or Titus, that the Apostle Paul was moved to write, that's the Word of God. Or if we read Isaiah or Jeremiah, that's the Word of God. God moved these men to write down these things. Now, I'm going to show from the Bible how the Apostle Paul was commissioned and established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, to say that the writings of Paul are contrary or contradict the writings of Jesus makes absolutely no sense, because Jesus is the one who made Paul an apostle. Jesus is the one who is moving Paul to write the things that he wrote. Jesus is the one that, therefore, is behind the writings of Paul, just as he is behind all the scriptures, being the Word of God in the flesh, as the Gospel of John tells us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the embodiment of the Bible itself. Jesus is the life of the Word of God. He is what every scripture is pointing to. Now, in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, we have the apostle Paul in view, except now he's not an apostle. His name is Saul, and he's a Pharisee, and he's a very zealous Pharisee, a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says in another place. He is going to persecute Christians. He cannot stand them. He despises them because he thinks they are a sect. He thinks that they are heretics. He thinks that they have another kind of a gospel. And so we read in Acts 9 and in verse 2, and this is referring to Saul, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, then we find a little further down in Acts chapter 9, that Jesus says these words in verse 15, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus is the one who chose Saul. And then, of course, his name was changed to Paul. And Jesus is the one who therefore, not only is Paul Savior, but he is the one who commissioned him, making him an apostle, qualifying him by seeing the Lord, and also sending him to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 26, we have the apostle Paul before King Agrippa, and he is making defense as he has been bound in prison, and he has this opportunity to speak before King Agrippa. And we read in verse 13, At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, Saul, or Paul, at this point is recounting what happened on the road to Damascus, and clearly it was the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to him with this blinding brightness from heaven. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who told Paul that he would make him a minister and a witness of the things which he has seen, and of things that in which Jesus will appear unto him. That is very definitely a clear statement from Paul. And remember, in the book of Acts, Paul is not the author of the book of Acts. It is Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and also was used of God to record Acts. And so in this writing that is not of Paul's, we read definitely that Jesus is commissioning Paul. He is going to use him as a minister and a witness. And he will declare the commandments that Jesus has given him. And so when we come to Ephesians and Romans and Galatians and Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and so forth, when we come to these epistles that the Apostle Paul has written, it is totally false to say or to insinuate in any way that Paul's writings are somehow another kind of a gospel, that they are not what Jesus would have him to say, that they are not in concord, that they are not in agreement with the words of Christ. And there is no basis for that whatsoever. Jesus is the one who has sent forth Paul. And let's just look at some of the opening verses of these epistles. Let's quickly read a couple of these in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That fits in perfectly with the account in Acts 9 and Acts 26 of Paul's conversion as God wrestled him from the way he was going and forcefully made him a child of God. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Paul is an apostle by the will of God, and no other way. In Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So here, Paul, who by the way, did have his struggles in his own time, in his own lifetime. There were some who doubted his role as apostle, and from time to time in his writings, he had to defend himself. But here, we see clearly he was not made an apostle by men, but by Christ, by God himself. Well, I'd like to thank everyone, and especially this room, for having this chance to share these initial thoughts on this subject, and I hope I can have another opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. C.J. McCain. Brother Hussein, your time, 15 minutes, starts now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you can hear me right, please, if it sounds good, clear, thank you very much. I would like to first welcome Mr. Machine, and the second, the topic tonight is not the Bible, the Word of God. The topic tonight is the teaching of Jesus Christ, is the same teaching of Saint Paul. This is the topic. They are the same. This is the topic tonight. It's the teaching of Jesus Christ, same as the teaching of Saint Paul. But before I go to that, he said something very, very important. He said, when you talk about the Bible, you talk about 66 books. They are the books of God, without errors, and there is no mistake. And these are the holy books of God. There is no another books. Only 66. Now I wonder, the Roman Catholics, they have a book, and the book is 73 books. There is 7 extra books, and this book, the Catholic, consider the Word of God, and consider this book an inspiration from the Lord Almighty, but the Protestant like you reject this and refuse this, and you do not consider this book as the Word of God Almighty. So we are in dilemma really right now. Which one is the Word of God? The Roman Catholic Version or the King James Version? Now, when you talk about St. Paul, first thing we have to say, Jesus Christ said, the Pharisees, the scholars of Jews, in the book of John, chapter 8, 13, John 8, 13, the Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, to Jesus Christ, thou bearest the record of the church. The record is not true. Now the Pharisees asking Jesus Christ, you bear witness for yourself. Your word is not true. What does that mean? They need somebody else to bear witness of Jesus Christ. That he is telling the truth. So, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 8, 17, Jesus said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Two men, not one. The testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Jesus Christ, the disciple said, yes, you want another one to bear witness of me? I have another one. First, I bear witness for myself. Second, the Father himself also bear witness for me. It's very important because according to the law of Moses, and this you'll find this in the book of Deuteronomy, because Jesus said, it is also written in your law, as it's written in Deuteronomy 19:15. In Deuteronomy 19:15 says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, or for any sin, in any sin that he sins, as the mouth of two witnesses, or as the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. So at least you need two witnesses with you, at least one or two witnesses with you. So Jesus Christ said, yes, I have another witness. I witness for myself, and the Father also witness for me, they witness for me. Again, the same thing happened again in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 5, verse 30, John 5 says, the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, this is the key word. Jesus said in the book of John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. This is the case. This is the case. That's what I'm looking for. Who witnessed for Paul? Who was with him in the road of Damascus? Paul came in the road of Damascus. He saw Jesus Christ. But no one, absolutely no one, witnessed with him. No one agreed with him. Do you have any person in the same time when St. Paul was walking on the road of Damascus and he saw Jesus Christ? Anyone was with him? Said, yes, I was with him and he knew he saw Jesus Christ. Absolutely none. He doesn't ask anybody. Again, John 5:31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, there is another, it has to be another. It has to be somebody else. Support you, establish your case. St. Paul has nothing. Nobody was with him in the road of Damascus. He took a dream. Again, there is another that could bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he bear witness of me is true. And now we say, you sent him to John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from a man. But this thing I say, that you might be saved. Now, Jesus said, there is another one who is for me, another. And Jesus said, if I bear witness for me, my word is not true. My witness is false. It has to be somebody else. Support me, take witness with him. And now Jesus said in the book of John, that the other witness, which is not human, because he said, I do not accept a witness from a man, it means the other witness is not human. It's not man like us. It's God Almighty. Where in the book of John chapter 5, verse 37, John 5:37, he says, and the Father himself, which has sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now, it's very clear, if you want to tell me that Paul is apostle of Jesus Christ, of course, the only evidence or proof for you to establish a relationship between Paul and Jesus Christ, as you said earlier, in your first session, you said when he was walking the road of Damascus, he saw Jesus Christ. The only thing, okay? The question arises over here, who bear witness with Paul? Who was with him in the road of Damascus? Nobody. Nobody is such a claim. It's claimed from Paul by himself. Nobody supports his case. Nobody has witnessed with him. I went to another witness, as Jesus said, if I bear witness for myself, my witness is not true. My witness is false. Now, the story about that in the road of Damascus, Paul said he saw Jesus Christ. Look over here. I want you to pay attention. I have three questions about this. First, the first question arises. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw a light and heard a voice. Did those who were with him hear the voice? This is the first question. Did those who were with him hear the voice? Now, we have a contradiction over here. In the book of John, in Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 9:7, Acts 9:7. He said, yes, they did. And they said, and the man who was generous with him, it took especially hearing the voice, but seeing no man. They heard the voice. Now, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 9, no, they did not. They did not hear a voice. Acts 22, 9. And they that were with me, so indeed the light, and were uprighted, but they heard not the voice of him that speak to me. So now we have the very contradiction. I think this is a big lie. He did not see Jesus Christ. Did the people hear with him? Hear the voice, yes or no? According to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 7, yes, they did. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, 9, no, they did not. Second question. When Paul stood alive, he fell down to the ground. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? This is very, very important question. And it is clear contradiction. When Paul stood alive, he fell to the ground. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? Now, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 14, yes, they did. Let me read it for you. Acts of the Apostles 26, 14. It says, and when we will all fall into the earth, all of us, all, Romans of all, in English French, in your language, all, the world, all, between all of us, and when we will all fall into the earth, I have the voice speaking to me. All, everybody, including every single one, all in all. Now, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, 7, Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, verse 7, it says, and the man who was determined with him, stood, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. The only one was in the ground, who? Paul alone. How you reconcile this? How you reconcile this? How you can reconcile this? If you go to court, and you lie, and you said one time, the people heard the voice, and next time that the people did not hear the voice, and he says, I fall down on the ground, but the people travel with me, and another person said, I fall down by myself. If the God will accept this from you, can you be credible witness? Absolutely no. No, not credible witness. Now, the third one, the third question. Now, did the voice is built out on the spot, was Paul's message where to be? This very important question. Again, did the voice is built out on the spot, on the same spot, was Paul's duty where to be? We have some direction over here. One, according to Acts 26, 16, 18, yes, and I'm going to read it for you. But trials and stand upon thy feet, for I have adversed unto thee, for this purpose, to meet thee, a minister and a witness both of this things, which thou hast seen, and of this things in which I will adversed unto thee. Anyway, it's very clear, he told them exactly what he had to do, delivering thee from the evil and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, and so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So very clear to them exactly what he has to do exactly. Now I have a big problem now. According to Acts of the Apostles 9:6, Acts of the Apostles 22:10, Acts of the Apostles 9:6, Acts of the Apostles 22:10, he told them, no, he did not tell them in the spot. No, listen what he says. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 verse 6, he says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go in the city, it means the Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Listen here again. It shall be told thee what thou must do. He told him, go to Damascus over to you and see what you have to do. He did not tell him exactly what you have to do in the same spot, in the same place. Now, same thing we find in the in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22:10, Acts of the Apostles 22:10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go unto Damascus, and there is It shall be told to thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Again, and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. It's been a clear contradiction over there. And listen to me, everybody. Can you imagine, this is the only thing related and told to Jesus. This is the only thing related to him. This is the only thing related to him. And everybody found out. It's a big trial over here. The verses contradict each other. First, did the people hear the voice? According to Acts of the Apostle, 97 years. Acts of the Apostle, 22, 9? No, they did not. Now, did Paul fall down to the ground? Is the trouble compelling fall down to the ground too? Yes, according to Acts of the Apostle, 26, 14. No, according to Acts of the Apostle, 19. Did the voice tell him what he had to do in the same spot? He appeared to him. Yes, according to Acts of the Apostle, 26, 16. No, according to Acts of the Apostle, 9:6, 22, 10. My question is yours, how you can reconcile this? Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Mr. C.J. McKean, the mic is yours. You have 15 minutes.
Thank you once again for this opportunity to speak from the Bible and to declare the Word of God. It is a great pleasure to be able to have this chance. Now, first of all, Mr. Wissam mentioned the difference between the 66 books that I mentioned and the fact that the Catholics would claim 73 books. And I do have to say that I'm not here representing any church of any kind, not Protestant, not Catholic, not any corporate body at all. I am a believer and a Christian, and the Bible itself defines and determines what is the Word of God and what is not. You see, God says in the book of Isaiah that His thoughts, and the Bible is a compilation of the thoughts of God, His thoughts are high, much higher than our thoughts, as far as the heaven is higher than the earth. And we know as we gaze out into space just how exceedingly much higher the heavens are than the earth. And that's exactly how it is when we're comparing the writing of man to the writing of God. It becomes very evident quickly what is a writing of man and what is a writing of God. The character of God's writing is one that is brilliant. It is it speaks of things that are glorious and of eternal things and of things that men really have no knowledge of whatsoever. And so when anyone and all kinds of people or different religions or churches have tried to introduce a writing and claim this is the Word of God. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon, and the Catholics add their certain books, and really the scripture in Revelation 22, verse 18, says we are not to add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, lest God add unto us the plague.
Mr. C.J. McKean, you dropped the mic. Mr. C.J. McKean, you dropped the mic. Can you hear me? If you hear me, please type 1, please. Mr. Stacey McKean, you hear me? Anybody can hear me? Please look at Echo. Right, let the group disconnect him. Akhil Hussam, further mark your mic. Further mark your mic, Akhil Hussam. All right, I'm here again.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We wait until you come back, inshallah. Okay, the mic is yours. Take the mic, please.
Right, inshallah, I'll close the wall. طبعا الاخ اللي معاه الوقت هيوقف الوقت عند اخر مره ذكر فيها وهي كانت 13 دقيقه يعني نعم 13 دقيقه ان شاء الله اخي ميجا لما يسلم يتكلم عربي ويقرا العربي تفضلت تفضلت ان شاء الله معكم مهي.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think it's better to speak to English language because we have a lot of listeners from all sections. Around Darfur they speak English, people from Christianity section, people from your section, African American. So I prefer to speak English, not Arabic, please. And we're waiting for them, but this, as I said, is very important, what I mentioned about St. Paul, that the only relationship connected to him, okay, he is here, okay. He's coming right now, okay. Take the mic, yeah.
Okay, Brother Hussam. Mr. Seji McKean came online, so waiting him for joining. Just waiting, he came online. I'm waiting him to join us in the room. If you do invite him, Hussam, maybe we're waiting for him to join us. Father Akhtar, please give him a...
As-salamu alaykum. I invite him, but still he's not here yet. But anyway, there is another brother. He translates really excellent. Let me just find out his name. I'm trying to find out his name. His name, I cannot really denounce it. It's a very strange name. هو أطلع مش عارف ALSHA3AQAH 7-1 if you can unduck him please go ahead go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Mr. T.G. McKean, welcome back, and we hold the time, so you start again. You got 13 minutes logged off. You left the group again. Okay, what's the name of the brother who can translate, Brother Sam? Please just type it so can undot him. Okay, thank you, Brother Halawala. Okay, Mr. Seji McKean came online again. He came online again, waiting for him to join the room. Has he got in yet? No. So we are waiting him to join. Brother Sam, please have the mic.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, inshallah, we're waiting for him, but just in case, if you have a problem to join again for any reason, if you, any Christian would like to continue the debate, we welcome anyone of you. Especially if somebody is a preacher, somebody has PhD in divinity, somebody has a knowledge of the Bible. We want people studying the Bible, scholars of the Bible, not anyone. The debate about the teaching of St. Paul is the same teaching of Jesus Christ. So we're waiting for him. As soon as he comes, we start. Otherwise, if not, you can send the DM to the admin and continue the debate with us. Go ahead, brother. I'm trying to invite him again. Go ahead,
okay, thank you. Okay. If there is anyone, if there is any other Christian would like to continue the debate in case that our guest couldn't join us again, just send me a DM, okay? Any other Christian, and would refer that if he got any knowledge as a preacher or as PhD in divinity, okay? Could be in Arabic too, or just in English, brother or sir? Could it be in Arabic or could be in Arabic or English only? Because might any someone, anyone could debate in Arabic as well. So, we are waiting our guest debater, Mr. C.G. McKean. Seems that he got a problem in connection. So, if there is any other guest could continue the debate in case our guest is not, couldn't join us again, give me a BM about this. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, Brother Hussam, I don't know what we're going to do now. If there is any guest who is Christian and be able to defend about the Word of God, just send me a BM announcing that he wants to continue the debate. Hey, Brother Hussam, you hear me? Father Ma'akirman.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't know what to say, to be honest with you, I guess, he has no answer for the question, I guess so. Because, where is the man? The man said he in the way of Damascus, he saw Jesus Christ, and this is the only thing related Jesus with him. But there is a clear contradiction in this story. The first thing, as I said, about the sound, and according to the book of, the first question will arise, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw a light, and he heard the voice. Did Jewish people, where was him, hear the voice? According to Acts of the Apostles 19, they did hear the voice. But, in Acts of the Apostles 22:9, they did not hear the voice. Now, the second question, when Paul saw the light, he fell down to the ground. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? According to the actions of Apostles 26:14, yes, all of them fell on the ground. But, in Acts of Apostles 9:7, no. The people were standing, he stood, speechless. Third, about the voice, did the voice still out on the spot? What good beauty was to be? According to Acts of Apostles 26:16, yes, yes. According to Acts of Apostles 9:6:22:10, he told them, go to the Maktash. And over there, they will tell you what you have to do exactly. I guess that's it. Mm-hmm. He has no answer for that. That's why you live. What can he say? Any Christian would like to complete, to continue the debate? Any Christian would like to continue the debate? I guess the debate is over. Yes? Anyone? But I give you 1 minute. I'm coming back as admin. Salam, you can hear me now, I guess that's it. Well, anyway, we're going to take the results of everybody. And if anyone interested to continue the debate, we wouldn't debate anyone here. That's it, it's over. He ran away, I'm sorry. He came back? Okay, brother Afrasco, the mic is yours, result everybody, go ahead.
Salaamu alaikum. Okay, welcome back, Mr. Sergi McKay. We'll start again to dot the room. And first, please, brothers, and dot the brothers who will translate. And please, Sam, put down any privilege you have. Okay. Brother Sam is here. Okay, he back. And that the brother, sorry, brother Harawalma, please help me in undotting brother who translates and our brother who is putting the time. Okay, Mr. Sergi McKean, you left the first time and you had 13 minutes. It starts now. Please continue. Your mic, please.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry for that interruption. I'm having a few modem problems, but I'm not sure exactly where I left off. I know I was talking for a little bit. But in Acts chapter 9, we know that Ananias receives a vision from the Lord, and the Lord calls Ananias to go and to lay his hands on Saul. And we read in Acts 9, in verse 17, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is the testimony of Ananias, and actually the Lord himself, and of the writer of the book of Acts, Luke. So there's plenty of testimony as far as Saul being called by God to be an apostle. As a matter of fact, Peter testifies to this in 2 Peter, in Peter's second epistle, in chapter 3, where we read in verse 16, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now Peter is testifying that Paul is a beloved brother, that he has been given wisdom, and that he has written unto the hearers of Peter's epistle. It says in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, is testifying and witnessing and confirming that Paul is a man that is used by God, a human instrument, to bring prophecy, to write down the scriptures. Peter puts Paul's epistles on the same level as the other scriptures. That's what he says here, that Paul, as also in all his epistles, and some find what Paul has written to be hard to be understood. So, you know, I'm not surprised that some people think there are contradictions in the Bible. Some people think that Paul has another kind of a gospel as compared to the gospel of Jesus, because they think that the Bible's an easy book. They think that God wrote the Bible so anybody could understand it, and that's not true. It's just not true. God has written a very difficult book. He's written the Bible in a way where it takes diligent study and much time reading the Bible in order to harmonize and to understand how statements fit together like pieces of a puzzle. The Bible is hard to be understood. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, in order to hide the truth, to veil the truth of the Word of God. He could have come right out and said certain things straightforwardly, but he chose to speak in parables. And that way, the hearers have to dig into what is being said, and they have to find out what is the spiritual meaning of the Scripture. Now, there are many verses in the Bible, I would grant, where you can find apparent contradictions. An apparent contradiction is this. It is when you read two verses or more that do not seem to have any agreement, they do not fit together, and it looks like there's an error or a mistake. It's only an apparent contradiction because there is no real contradiction. The Bible is without error and without mistake. Whenever we read something and it seems on the surface reading to not tie together, really what this means is that we have to spend more time in the Bible. We have to do more study, and then we can come to a proper understanding. And that's been my experience, as well as the experience of many true believers, that as we read the Bible and continue to study, that these apparent contradictions always clear up and fit together. Now, let's look at what Mr. Wiesan was saying in Acts 9:7 compared to Acts 22:9 about not hearing the voice. And it says in Acts 9, verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And let's compare that to Acts 22. And verse 9, is that the verse? Yeah, verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the Lord of him that spake to me. So here, in one hand, in Acts 9, it says, hearing the voice, but in Acts 22, in verse 5 says, they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now, if God is speaking from heaven, if God is able to thunder, and the Bible says the voice of the earth thunder marvelously, he is able to make his speech be heard by the one he intends to hear it. And so, here is Paul traveling with these other men on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to enter into his life. He's going to turn Paul around and use Paul as a chosen vessel to send forth the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he thunders, or there's some kind of voice coming from heaven that those around him cannot understand. They do not perceive. They cannot make out the words at all. And so, in one sense, you could say they heard a voice. They heard a voice. They heard something coming from heaven. But on the end, only Paul heard this voice where it was perceptible to his understanding. Only Paul was able to comprehend and understand the meaning of what was being said. So we find that they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Paul later would have said to them, did you hear? Or perhaps this was said, I don't know, this is speculation. He could have said, did you hear that Jesus said, why dost thou persecute me? And they would say, no, we heard no such voice, because they did not hear the very words. And that's how we can understand that. And that's just one example of how we find harmony in the Bible. Now, God does not have to give us all the information in one passage, and this is true especially with the gospel accounts. He uses the other gospels to fill out a story. And so in Mark, we might have some information, and Matthew will have a little bit more, and so forth. But we put it all together, and that's what happened. And so it is with these instances in Acts. There's just a filling out of it as we take the time to consider. It's a very bad idea to casually read the Bible, to skim the Bible on the surface. Well, you're bound to come up with all kinds of mistakes and errors and be led the wrong way. You're just not going to discover truth that way. We have to take time, sit down, pray for wisdom, and then these things always, always harmonize and fit together. And actually, I'm very glad whenever I hear someone say, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Now, I can't always find the answer to why, but I know because some of these have opened up and cleared up and become understandable, that as we dig into it, we see that it fits this way, and then we realize only God could have written the Bible to be so accurate and to be so perfect without error and without mistake. So I would be interested in hearing Mr. Wiesam address Ananias. Ananias is a witness. Mr. Wiesam has to also face some verses, does he not? Does he not have to face the fact that Ananias testifies to Paul receiving a vision? Does he not have to face the fact that Luke, the writer of Acts, testifies to Paul being made an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what of these? And I'm afraid when we come right down to it, that Mr. Wiesam, although he knows the Bible very well, does not believe the Bible whatsoever. As a matter of fact, listening to him over these opportunities we've had to discuss the Word of God, I don't believe that he thinks any part of the Bible is the Word of God. Or if I'm mistaken about that, please correct me. But it's interesting that he tries to use the Bible to prove certain things, and yet point to other verses to to prove that the Bible's not the Word of God. Well, why go to the Bible at all if you don't trust it, if you don't think it's the Word of God, if you don't think it's, as the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? How do you, or how does anyone know what part of the Bible is true and what part has error in it? If I thought the Bible had one mistake in its original writings, then that opens up the Bible to 1,000 mistakes. If there could be one error, everything could be wrong. And I wouldn't trust my life upon it, and yet I know the Bible is perfect. I know God's Word is true, though every man be a liar. And I know men, as Peter testified, have unlearned, and I'm sorry to say that's the word of Scripture, unlearned, not intellectually, but in spiritual things, they have wrested the Bible to their own destruction. And that's a very frightful warning that God is giving us there. Okay, thank you for having this time to share, and I'll relinquish the mic so Mr. Wiesan can perhaps speak to some of these points.
If you can hear my point, please, the sound is good. The sound is good. And the sound is good. Thank you very much, everyone. And I would like preacher Chris to come down, chill out. Do not get mad at me. It sounds like you're mad at me. So please, you know, relax. See, the issue over here is the teaching of Jesus Christ the same teaching of St. Paul? He said yes. Okay, no problem. Now he tells us, and he said in the first session, that he tried to establish a relationship between Paul and Jesus Christ, that when Paul came, that in the way of Damascus, he saw a vision, and he saw Jesus Christ. This is the only thing you can establish a relation between Jesus Christ and St. Paul. Nothing else. It's this only thing. Once I describe this, I describe the entire gospel. Why? Because St. Paul writes almost 75% from the gospel. 13 letter by him. The book of Luke is his student. Acts of the Apostles by his student Luke. Basically the entire New Testament. Now, I ask you two questions, very two questions, and I mention Jesus Christ, when the Pharisees asked him, can you hear me guys? Ah, okay. When the Pharisees asked him in the book of John, chapter 8, 13, the Pharisees, the record said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now, Jesus replied in the book of John, 8, 17, and he said, it is also written in the law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father has sent me, that sent me, bear witness of me. Now, Jesus Christ telling us that he has another witness testify for him. This witness is the Father himself. The same thing again in the book of John, chapter 5, from verse 50-31. Chapter 5, verse 31 to chapter 5, verse 37. Jesus said in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There are another person, someone else that bear witness of me. And of course you found out this other witness is the Father himself, God Almighty. In the book of John 5:37 it says, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has done with you something. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now, regarding to St. Paul, my question was very specific, very specific. Maybe you will understand the question. I'm going to repeat myself again. I said, there is anyone who was traveling with Paul in the road of Damascus, and was witness with him? No one, Gideon. Which one? Again, the question was very specific. There is anyone
The people were traveling as he said he trained. But the people were traveling with him and the road to Damascus. The question will arise here, any one of them begin with, yes, I was with him in the road to Damascus. And yes, he saw Jesus Christ. No. I said you to give me one. Nobody. There is no eyewitness. There is absolutely none. Paul, when he saw Jesus Christ, and nobody was eyewitness with him. No one. Second, there's something very important, and I like this. This American institution, and Hebrew institution, they say to American, exhibition is not approved. Exhibition is not approved. Now you try to put spin on the verses, and try to explain the verses. No, this is not the question. The verses is contradict each other, very simply. Now, you do not about the sun. There is three questions regarding to the vision. Three questions. One, when Paul was in the road to Damascus, he saw a light and heard the voice. The group who were with him heard the voice. Now he tried to go around, he said, no. Some of them heard, some of them not. Excuse me? It's not the Bible saying. No, it's not the Bible. No. The Bible said, in one time, all of them heard, in another time, all of them didn't hear. So I'm saying, do not play around with the girls. Do not say some of them heard, some of them not. And I'm proof for you. Now, according to Acts 9:7, it says, and the man, who went genetically there, is put speechless. Hearing a voice. They hear the voice, all of them. Not some of them. No, all of them heard a voice. Okay? But seeing no man. Now, go to Acts of the Apostles 22:9. It says, now, and they that were with me, with the people traveling with him, saw indeed a light, and were uprising. But they heard not the voice. They heard not the voice of the man of him that speaks to me. Now, you hear me, and you hear everybody. You said, if there is any mistake in the law, one mistake, this destroys the Bible. This threw the Bible to the ground. It's not good anymore. One mistake, one error, that's a very error. I have thousands, but it's not the topic of the case. Now, so do not tell me some heard, some not. Because in 9:7, all of them heard. In 22:9, nobody heard. Now, second question. When Paul saw the light, he fell to the ground by himself alone. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? Now, listen to me. Listen. In your English language, the word all, what all means? All. A-N-N. What is in English? All, it means everyone. Including everybody. Now, go to Acts of the Apostles 26:14. What it says? It says, and when we were all falling to the earth, all of us, all falling to the earth. Now, go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 7, 9, 7. 9, 7, it says, and the man, which then it was him, it stood, the only one was in the ground, somewhere alone, him alone, stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. Another error, the Bible is not good anymore, that's what he said, one error is enough, third one. Now, did the voice, it's still out, on the spot, was both Jews were to be. Now, look, this suppose it's been out on the spot in the same place was both Jews were to be. According to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26:16-17, yes, and I'm going to read it for you. But rise and stood upon the sea, for I have a bear going to thee. for this purpose, to meet the minister and a witness, both of his service, which thou hast seen, and of this thing in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He told them exactly what you have to do. Now, which according to 9:6 and 22 then, what he said to him? No. He did not tell him in the spot what he had to do. What he told him? He told him, go to Damascus. And there, they will tell you exactly what you have to do. And he didn't prevent it again. In 9:6, it says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee, what thou must do. Very clear. Go over to the master to the city, and they will tell you exactly what you have to do. Now, same thing in that is about chapter 22, verse 10. And it says, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. It's clear. Imagine this guy witness in a court, and he contradicted himself. What the judge will say? He will say he's not credible witness, because he contradicted himself. One time he said that the people who have heard the voice, 9:7, in Acts 2:22, that did not hear the voice. No. One time he said, all of them fall to the ground, Acts 26:14, and the word, all, it means everybody. Now, in Acts 9:7, no. He is the Lord was in the ground. Now, did the voice spill out to him what he had to do in the spot? Yes. According to Acts of the battle. 26:16:18. No. According to Acts of the battle. 9:6:22:10. And did the only thing related some 40 sheep of Christ? Once, I proved to everybody that he did not do. He was blind. He never saw Jesus Christ. This is a lie you never saw him. Now, I want you to listen to this. In Acts of the Apostle, chapter 22, verse 1, 22:1, it says, my brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he speaks unto the Hebrew tongue with him, they kept the more silence, and he says, I am verily a man in which I am a Jew, born in Tyrus, a city in Persia, yet brought up in this city at the sea, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the Father, and was just toward God as you all are this day. Now, anyway, we go further, he will talk about what happened to him in the road of Damascus. We will talk about something very important, it says. In chapter 22, verse 6, it says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come near unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Great light. Now, listen here. Listen what it said over here. In verse number 11, in verse 11, 22:11, it says, and when I could not see, for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Okay, what is the problem, sir? There is a big problem. How come, as soon as he saw the light, he was blind? The question arises now. How he can How we can see Jesus Christ? If the light blinds him, if the light blinds him, how can we see Jesus Christ? How we can see Jesus Christ? How? It's a light. The Lamb of Light. How we can see Jesus Christ and the light blinds him. Again, Acts of the 22:11. And when I could not see, for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into the mosque. A great thing is to not see Jesus Christ, you are blind. Now, we go back to the same question again. Now, first, who was with them in the road of Damascus and was eyewitness and testified for him? Yes, I was him, I was eyewitness, I was there, and he too discussed. Nobody. Second, I would like to answer this clear contradiction. If you really saw Jesus Christ, and he said, why the story contradict each other? Why? He said the Bible, there was one error. One error is enough to destroy the Bible. I got to at least three of them. Go ahead, take the mic, and give the same session for you, let's hear from you.
Okay, once again, I'd like to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to share from the Bible. And I am very happy to discuss anything in the Word of God. Now, I do not have all the answers, but I know that there are answers. And I still very confidently proclaim that the Bible is perfect without error. There are no mistakes in the Bible. There are mistakes on man's part as he reads the Bible. Now let me go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. And by the way, Mr. Wiesan did not address Ananias testifying to the fact that Paul received a vision. He did not address that Luke testified of its truthfulness by writing it down. And let's see, as we have this statement from Luke. Let me see if I can find it. Luke is a very faithful man, a very honest man, as he says in the Gospel of Luke. Says in verse 1 of Luke 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now the same man who wrote those words, that he is recording the Gospel of Luke, that Theophilus might know the certainty of those things, is the one who wrote the book of Acts. And yet it was not addressed. It was not addressed. Neither did Mr. Wiesan address 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, which I'll read again. In verse 15 of 2 Peter 3, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, and that's referring to the writings of all the epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. And we looked at that the last time. Jesus, the resurrection of those that have done good unto eternal life, and the resurrection of those that have done evil unto eternal damnation. And yet we were looking at how Paul, in some of his writings, points out that man is not justified by works. Well, That's a hard truth. It's hard to be understood. But what we do is we we study. Not all of the scripture is easy to understand. And let's keep reading here in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now the word rest has the idea of twisting. It has the idea of coming to the Bible with preconceived notions and ideas. It has the whole idea of having your own agenda. And so if certain individuals come to the Bible and they don't trust the Bible, they don't believe that any part of the Bible is the Word of God. They don't believe what God has written. And so they are called by God Himself unlearned. And it doesn't mean that they do not have an education. They may be very intelligent men. You know, there are doctors of the law in Christian circles, doctors of theology that have a great deal of learning of books, and yet if they're not saved, they do not have eyes to see, and they would be they would fall under this classification of being unlearned and unstable, resting the scriptures. Anyone who comes to the Bible and since it's a hard book to understand, they casually read certain things, and then they make statements, and they say, well, prove to me. Well, the Bible doesn't have to prove anything to anyone. But man is not above the Bible. Man is in subjection to the Bible. The Bible is the authority. The Bible is the Word of God. And anyone can say, well, I'm not going to believe until you prove this to me, or they set very narrow confines and they say you must answer this question. Well, no, I don't have to answer it, neither does God. If anyone doesn't want to believe, fine, they don't have to believe. And actually, no man can believe of themselves. No man is going to turn to God of their own will, because men are dead in sin. Each and every one of us, we begin in this life dead in sin. And so we're under the wrath of God, and we're on our way to hell. And yet, there's only one way of avoiding eternal damnation. There's only one way of escape. And that's also written in the book of Acts. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so if we're going to rest Paul's epistles, if we're going to rest the scriptures, well, here's what God says. They rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now, I'm afraid that anyone who is saying the Bible is not the Word of God is really throwing away the only hope of salvation. They're throwing away the only possible hope there is in this world of avoiding eternal damnation. And God lets people do this. God permits people to do this. The Bible is in the hands of a great many people in our day, and even in the churches and congregations of the world, there are many. And so we find that this is how God has given us the Bible. You know, God could have made it very clear. He could have made very plain statements. The Bible has written us a huge book, 66 books that all combined together form the Bible, and it is a book that must be studied. It must be searched out. It must be, above all, it must be held in extremely high regard. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so, when we come to the Bible, we have to come humbly. We have to come submissively and realize this is the Word of God. I don't know anything. I'm just a man. I have a peanut-sized brain, but the Bible is that which speaks of the infinite mind of God, and we have to approach God's Word humbly, or else the truths of the Bible will be hid from our eyes. And so it's true that many men have come to the Bible, and they have seen these apparent contradictions, and so they have quickly jumped to a conclusion. There are mistakes, there are errors, it's not the Word of God. Well, God hides himself from anyone approaching his Word like that. He gives grace to the humble. And man knows that this is the Word of God. It doesn't have to be proven. It doesn't have to be shown. It's very evident. Everyone knows that the Bible, deep down anyway, deep in our hearts, we know the Bible is the Word of God. We know this is coming directly from God's mouth. It's why so many people are so involved with the Bible, even a room like this, even in discussing this subject. Why is it that we're talking about the Bible? I know if I believed, as apparently many in this room believe, that the Bible is full of errors, I wouldn't bother with it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. Why would I want to spend my time reading the Bible when it's said to be full of errors, if I really believe that? Well, no, the Bible is inerrant. It is perfect. And that doesn't mean I can answer every single question, but it does mean there is an answer to every single question. And these questions must be searched out. Now, as we go to Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, we find in verse 6 these words, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul took seriously, perhaps as seriously as anyone else, that he must be faithful to what Jesus had spoken to him. He must be faithful to the heavenly vision, to God himself. Goes on to say again, "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." I'm afraid it comes down to this for Mr. Wee Sam, and for everyone in this room, it comes down to, do I believe the Bible? Do I believe the Bible is the Word of God and is trustworthy? Or if I don't, why do I want to even discuss it? Why do I want to have anything to do with it? Why do I want to bother with it? Well, I don't know the answer to that for everyone in this room. I hope that there are many that believe the Bible. But if we believe the Bible, we do not approach it the way Mr. Wissan is approaching it. We can ask questions. We can wonder why God has written things. We can wonder why this is said and how things fit together and harmonize. But we never phrase it in the way that, well, this writer of Scripture is a liar. Well, that's a horrible, horrible thing to believe, because it really indicates, it really points out that that person who would believe such a thing is not saved. That individual has no spiritual eyes to see whatsoever, and therefore the only thing remaining, the only thing left, is the judgment of God. It's that destruction that 2 Peter 3 is referring to. That those who who are unstable and unlearned rest the scriptures to their own destruction. I do pray and hope that there will be many in this room that will not approach the Bible in that manner, lest it be to your everlasting peril, lest you go to that place of torment where man will never come out again, to the pit of hell, to the blackness of darkness forever. May we have a more humble and more lowly attitude and come to the Bible seeking the truth, seeking God to teach us, and God resist to give grace to the humble.
Is my turn now, or is it finished? Is my turn now? Is he here? I'm waiting for him. Is it finished? Yes, he is. Okay, 1 minute.
Okay.
Again, I just, right now, I have to say that is Greek. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Why I say that? Because the Bishop himself, he said, he has no answer for the question, yet there is answer, but he has no answer for it. There is answer, but he has no answer for it. I think the debate is over. What we debate about? If you cannot answer, this is what we debate about. Again, for the third time, that I had to ask you two questions. Who was with St. Paul on the road to Damascus? Who was eyewitness with him? An eyewitness. Somebody was with him in the road of Damascus. With all respect to you, you failed to bring one person. Was eyewitness. I want a person was with him in the road of Damascus. That the Bible said, yes, I was there, and he really did show Jesus Christ. It didn't happen. You have no eyewitness absolutely. Not anyone. Second, about this contradiction, about the vision. You have no answer. Not because you have no answer. No. Because you cannot answer it. Even the Bob himself, the Bob Dandakit, the Bob Shinuda, whatever, the most scholar in Christianity cannot answer this. And this clear cut that Paul was lying. He was a liar. The man was a liar himself. And he admits. Read the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 7. He admits. He admits he was a liar. So, if the truth of God has not abandoned through my life, and to his glory, when yet I am also judge of the sinner, the man admits he is a liar. For if the truth of God has more abundance through my life, and to glory, why yet I am also judged as a sinner. The man admits he's a liar. He admits. You cannot prove your case that the man was really a prophet of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. The man was never a follower of Jesus Christ. He never heard from him. And the only thing connecting with Jesus Christ was a big lie. He said in the road of Damascus, he too, vision of Jesus Christ, he did not. So he said to admit to this. Look to the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 13. He admits. A man admits is a liar. He says, Hold on a minute, please. It says, No. Just give me 1 minute, please. I misquote the verse. Look what he says. And when I could not see, for the glory of God's light, being led by the hand of them, that were with me, I came unto Damascus. The man cannot see. The man became blind. How can we see Jesus Christ? How? He was blind from the light. He admitted it. He was blind from the light. How can we see Jesus Christ? The man is a liar. Now, we're going back to focus again. Now, three questions about the vision. First, did in
The first scripture, when Paul was in the road to Damascus, he saw a light and he heard the voice. The Jews who were with him heard the voice. Yes, according to Acts of the Apostles 9:7. No, according to Acts of the Apostles 22:9. Second question, alright. When Paul saw the light, he fell to the ground. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? Yes, according to Acts of the Apostles 26:14. Because he said all of us fall to the ground. All of them. But no, it did not happen. In Acts of the Apostles 9:7. Now, the third question. Did the voice spill out on the spot that both British were to be? Yes. According to Acts of the Apostles 26:16-18, no. According to Acts of the Apostles 9:22. Is that clear? The case is closed. The man was lying. Now, you mentioned before a little regard to this and the first decision. He said about Paul is a part of the Gentiles. And he said so. Well, in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 13, he said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay? And he said so. Good. Now, the question will arise. Is this so? Why in the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 20 and 22, it says, "And when they heard that they were false and wrong, this the apostle of Jesus Christ, as follows. And when they heard it, they verified the law and said unto him, said to Paul, thou see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe, and they are of zealot of the law, and they are on format of thee, they inform about Paul, that thou teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses." Now the question arises, if the man is apostle to the Gentiles, why do we ask the Jews to forsake the Lord? Why are you asking them? Why are you asking them? Again, and they are important of thee, that God teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. It's very clear. If the man is a pattern to the Gentiles, why he order and teach the Jews to forsake the law? Why? Because the man was a liar. What do you have to do with the Jews? If he's just a apostle of the Gentiles, as we said, Romans 11:13, it says, "For I speak to the Gentiles in so much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Now, I think the teaching of Jesus Christ is not the teaching of St. Paul. It's not that, absolutely it is not. Now, I would like you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "I'm not coming, since not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not coming to destroy it by two fulfilling. For verily I say unto you," he swear, "till heaven and earth pass, no doubt or no tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Now, and there is a prophecy over here, prophecy about Paul. "For whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ, he said, "I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets." Nobody can change even one jot or one tittle, and shall in no wise, and the tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Now look what the teaching of St. Paul. Look to. Okay. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4, Choice has become of no aspect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are all from grace. I'm going to say this question. I'm going to ask the picture of Jesus Christ. He said this. He said, go to heaven, have eternal life only by grace. No works. No. No. And the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 6. But now, we are delivered from the law. We are delivered from the law. That being good, when we are held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit. Now, in the creation, we are delivered from the law. The law has no effect on us anymore. Now, in creation number 2, verse 16, knowing the man, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by the faith of Jesus Christ. No works of the law, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, in Galatians 3:10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are and under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the law, in the book of law. Again, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in the Christ Jesus. No works, only redemption. Redemption of that is in Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 3:27, where is nothing then, it is excluded by what law of works, nay, by the law of faith. In Romans 3:28, the letter, we can know that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Now, he can protect himself, not over here. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, says, he says, who will render every man according to his deeds. According to his deeds. You see how he can protect himself? He said, no works. According to his deeds, his works. Again. In Romans, chapter 3:13, for not the letter of the law are just before God, but the doors of the law shall be justified. The doors of the law shall be justified by the law. He can present himself. Again, let me say it again. Now he said by the works of the law. Justified by the law. By doing the works of the law. Now, he said, in Romans 3:28, therefore, we should know that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. By faith without the deeds of the law. Again, justified with faith without the deeds of the law. He can protect himself. In Romans 2:6, he will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2:13, for not the letter of the law are just before that, but the letter of the law shall be justified. And then he can protect himself again. In Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of deeds, lest any man should boast. He can protect himself. In Romans 2:6, we will render to every man according to his own deeds. Can you imagine that? I'm sorry, the man is a liar and with all respect to you, you have no answer because you cannot answer it. Nobody can answer it. Also, I'm sure to say, you have a blind faith. You have a blind faith. That's it. You consider the Bible the word of God even after all is said. Paul was not the author of Jesus Christ. Till now, you do not give us the answer to the two questions. First, who was within the road of Damascus? Testify for him. Second, how you can reconcile this contradiction about the vision serves as a mission to you. Paul contradicts himself, also contradicts the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Mic is yours, Adam. Pick the mic, you have 20 minutes. You've left 20 minutes, pick the mic. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you once again for this opportunity to share from the Bible, the Word of God. And, you know, I did try to address one of the three or so points that you brought up in the differences in the accounts in Acts, and I gave an explanation. And I showed how that you can hear a voice, you can hear the sound of thunder, you can hear however they heard it, and yet not make out the words. And so it can be said, you heard a voice, but it also can be said, you heard not the voice because you did not understand it. Now that answer explains the difference in the two verses. But I've noticed, and this is why I didn't bother to even try to answer the other ones, I've noticed when I give an answer, when I do try to harmonize the Word of God and to explain how some of these seeming on the surface contradictions can be understood, that you quickly say it, you quickly call an explanation. Well, that's exactly what it is, and yet you dismiss it immediately, and it's of no effect. And so, you know, the Bible tells us, the believers, the true believers, that if you are sharing from the Word of God, and it's not, that we do not have to force it, because there is no convincing man. Man is stubborn, rebellious, sinful. Man's heart is desperately wicked. The Bible paints about as ugly a picture as you can paint about mankind. We are dead in sins, therefore we are spiritually blind. We are spiritually deaf. We have no spiritual ability to understand the Bible of any kind. And the problem with Christianity today, as it's presented by the churches, and I have no church connection whatsoever. I'm a believer outside of any church. The problem today is that there is a sending forth of the gospel to try to appeal to man, to try to get man to reason with man or convince man or to stir up man to accept Christ and to become saved and to join up and be a Christian. Well, none of that is biblical. None of that is faithful to the Bible. But God nowhere calls His people, the believers, to try and convince anybody. What we do is we witness and we testify to the truth of the Word of God, which I've endeavored to do today. I've tried my best to just continually point out the Bible is the Word of God. It is absolute truth. And it's not a blind faith. It's not a blind faith at all, because the Bible itself testifies to this. And there are many examples that could be given that where apparent contradictions are explained and harmonized. But if they're going to fall on deaf ears, if the Bible also says, do not cast your pearls before swine, and that's no insult intended, but the spiritual meaning of that is that if individuals are not going to receive the Word of God, if they're not going to humbly approach the Bible, well, okay, there's no constraint upon the true believer. We don't have to force it. We just go somewhere else. We just turn in a different direction. And God's in total control. He's in total charge. He'll lead us down another path. And I hope it's possible some here might be those that God is dealing with. And, you know, God, since man is dead in sin, does all the work in salvation. What He does is He uses His Word, the Bible, and He draws people to Himself. He gives them an irresistible desire to receive the Bible. Excuse me, I have to turn off my there we go, getting some pop, some messages. God sends forth His Word. And the truth is, if anyone here is one of God's elect, that God is going to save them, whether, you know, they're convinced by this discussion or not, God is going to save them eventually, somewhere, somehow, before the end, or before they die. God will draw them and save them. And that's because salvation has absolutely nothing to do with works, as Mr. Wee Sam was just stating, what he believes to be contradictions in the writings of Paul. A person is saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our own works. And we do read that in Galatians 2, verse 16, says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, that's an important little word there, of. You see, we're not even saved by our faith. No man is saved by his faith in Christ. It doesn't say that. We're saved by the faith of Christ. Christ's faithfulness in taking the sins of his people upon himself. Christ's faithfulness in paying the penalty of sin, which is death. But it's not just physical death. It's the death of eternal damnation, the second death. Jesus was faithful in enduring the wrath of God, the equivalent of an eternity in hell for the sins of his people. He was faithful in going through hell for each and every one he came to save. Now, it is possible to be justified by works if it is possible to be if you keep the law perfectly. No man that I've ever known, certainly not myself, my conscience bears witness to a great many transgressions and sins. And every man I've ever met has appeared also to realize that they were a sinner. I don't know anybody who thinks that they're perfect without sin and can keep the law perfectly and be justified by the law. But some people, they have an unusual understanding. They think they can keep certain laws. I suppose it's the only way that they can arrive at a conclusion. They'll be justified by works. I don't know how they can come to that conclusion, but they do. And yet the Bible is very clear, as it says in Galatians 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So an individual would have to keep the whole Bible, the whole law of God, all the commandments that are written herein. How impossible that is. It's literally impossible. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments, let alone all the commandments of God. Nobody can be pure in thought, word, and deed, within and without. Nobody can cease from sin to that degree and live a holy and just life. Do you know anyone like that? Are you like that? I highly doubt it, because I know what the Bible says about man. The Bible says that the thoughts of man's heart are only evil continually. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? The Bible says that out of man's heart flows all manner of evil, and we also know that a man who looks upon a woman commits adultery with her already in his mind. Or if you have anger for your brother, you've already murdered him. These are statements of the Bible. Who is just enough? Who is perfect enough? Who is good enough? No man whatsoever. No, not one. None is righteous. No, not one. And that's where we're all the other religions of the world, including Islam, or including Hindu, or including many Christian versions of the gospel, leave us. It leaves us in our sins without a Savior. It leaves us trying to work our way into heaven and to obtain eternal life through our own merit, and that is going to lead to nothing but the curse. We're going to end up in hell for certain if we do not find a Savior. And there's only one Savior, and he's written about in this book, the Bible, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very important what we do with the Bible. It's extremely important because it is through the Bible we learn of Christ. And I'm sorry, I respect Mr. Wiesan as far as being an intelligent man, but what he's saying about Paul being a liar in another gospel is totally false. Totally false. Paul is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ established him and commissioned him and moved him to write the scriptures, the epistles that he wrote. Peter confirms this in 2 Peter 3, as he says that Paul is given wisdom and that he has written the epistles, which many that are unstable and unlearned rest to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures, putting Paul's epistles on par with the other writings of scripture. There is much evidence to show that there's no discrepancy, there's no distinction between what Paul has written and Jesus has written, or any writer of the Bible. And I would encourage each one of us to read the Bible. Read the Bible. It's our only possible hope of salvation. There is no other way to become saved. And God works through the Bible. Faith comes by hearing the Bible. It doesn't come by exercising our will. Man's will is dead. And that's why I'm not trying to convince anyone. But faith comes as a gift of God by the reading and hearing of the Bible. We read...
Why you give him the dove? Who gave him the dove? Who gave him the dove? You can say whatever you want. Who resurrects him? God gave him the life.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for restoring the microphone to me. Wasn't where I had a red dot. Well, in Romans 10:17, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, it is the Bible, whereby we are given faith. It comes through reading the Bible, and it's a mystery. I can't explain how. And it will not come to everyone. God saves a remnant of mankind. He has an elect people that he has predestinated to save from before the foundation of the world. And those elect people will hear the Bible and become saved. And that's why I continually rejoice, and I'm so happy that in this room, you're reading the Bible. You may not believe the Bible, you may not trust the Bible, but you're reading from the Bible. And so I'm happy because it's possible that faith might come through the reading of this book, the Bible. And that's why it's so sad to hear attacks against the Bible, because the Bible, it's our only hope. It's our only source of escape from the eternity in hell to come, from eternal damnation. And so we want to come to the Bible as a man who is dying, as a man who is desperately seeking refuge, and wrap our arms around it and embrace it. And read it for all of its worth, because time is very short. The time of each of our lives is very short. None of us know if we'll be alive tomorrow or next week or into this coming new year. We don't know how long we have to live, and also the time of this earth is quickly running out, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is close at hand. We have very little time, and yet God, in His mercy, in His compassion, in His wonderful love for His people, those elect, He has given us the Bible. And God is no respecter of persons, whether Jew or Gentile, whether Arab or Greek or American or Chinese. God does not respect persons. All men are equal in God's sight. All are sinners in His sight. All are equally under His wrath and on their way to hell. And yet God, in His mercy, has given us His word. And so here we have the Bible. And yes, there are some things hard to be understood. I won't deny that. And yet I will witness to the fact that everything is perfect and trustworthy. And a sinner can rest his everlasting soul upon it. And God will never disappoint. God will never, the Bible will never disappoint someone who trusts in it and who comes to it as God has prescribed. Well, see, here is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. And I really enjoyed our discussion on works a couple of weeks ago. Because I know that Mr. Wiesan, and he cannot answer this because there is no answer to it. How can a man become saved or enter into heaven who has committed sins when God has very definitely said that the soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. What about our sins? Who will pay for the Muslim sins? Who's going to pay for your sins if you do not have a Savior? What if, okay, maybe right now at this point you're going to try and keep the law and live perfectly, but what about the sins of your past? What about all those sins? They must be paid for. God is a just God. He is a God that is going to hold man accountable for everything they've done in their life. Where is the Savior? Where is the justice of God? I'm sorry to say there is no other possibility. There is no other way. There is only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way to enter into heaven. He is the only way someone can get right with God. And so I would leave you also, let me go to Hebrews, and this is getting back to our topic, in Hebrews chapter 10, where we read in verse 5, I'll begin reading verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. You see, this is referring to Jesus. In the volume of the book, in all the Bible, whether it be Moses or whether it be Samuel, or whether it be the writer of the Kings, or Daniel, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or Luke, or Peter, or the Apostle Paul, in the volume of the book it is written of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by reading this blessed book that one can experience eternal salvation. And so I do want to, once again, want to thank everyone here for giving me this chance to share and to have this opportunity to read from this book, the Bible. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't know what to say. You know, spend 20 minutes wasting your time, have nothing to answer, you have no answer, you have no proof, you do not answer my questions, and you give you bridge to the Bible for 20 minutes. The topic is the teaching of Jesus Christ, the same teaching of St. Paul. We're talking about Paul, not the Bible. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about crucifixion. You will spend 20 minutes. Because there is no answer. You cannot answer it. First, again, first question. I would like everybody to listen to this. The first question. The only thing you can connect St. Paul with Jesus Christ, as Paul came in the way of Damascus, he saw a vision of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, the first question was, there is any eyewitness and hear witness was with Paul in the way of Damascus? No. No one. No. There is no eyewitness. The man was lying. There is no eyewitness. He just came into Jesus Christ and the man caught on a lie. He caught on a lie. Where? Read Acts of Apostle, chapter 22:11. Acts of Apostle 22:11. Read what the man said. The man said he cannot see because the light overcome him. It says, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. The man was blind from the way. How come he see Jesus Christ? He couldn't arrive. Now, this is first. Second question. He hear us, and he hear anybody, to bring only one error. Just one error. And about one mistake, just one mistake. I got me three errors. One. About all the same thing, about the vision. About what Paul claimed that he saw Jesus Christ and the road of Damascus. One. The first question, the first error, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw a light and he heard a voice. Did those who were with him hear the voice? According to Acts of the Apostles, 9:7, yes, they did. According to Acts of the Apostles, 22:9, they did not hear the voice. The first error. Second. When Paul to the light, he fell onto the ground. Did his traveling companions also fall to the ground? Yes, all of them fall to the ground, according to Acts of the Apostles 26:14. But in 9:7, the only one who was on the floor was Paul alone. The other people and the man which came with him stood speechless. The people were standing. Third, did the voice spill out? On the spot, was Paul's duties were to be? Yes, according to Acts of the Apostles 26:16-18. No, according to Acts of the Apostles 9:6-22-10. What is the answer? No answer. You admit yourself you have no answer. You admit you have no answer. That's good enough for me. Because nobody can answer it. Even if bring the book down to get himself, he cannot answer it. It's a contradiction. Again, look over here. Something very, very clear over here. From the mouth of St. Paul. Very clear. Go. What? He said here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2:16. Galatians 2:16. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Same thing repeated again in the book of Romans, chapter 3:28. It says, Romans 3:28. It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds. Without the deeds of the law. I caught him in another lie, another contradiction. Now, go to Romans 2:6. He contradicts himself. Romans 2:6. He says,
who will render to every man according to his deeds. According to his deeds. Jesus. It's clear. Again. Who will render every man according to his deeds. His works. Same thing. Repeat it again. Rome 2:13. For not the letter of the law just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. The doers of the law shall be justified. Again, he contradicts himself. In Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 8, if by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works. Not of workers, not of deeds, not of deeds, lest man should boast. Again, I see a contradiction again. Here it says no workers, no deeds. Rome 2:6. We will render every man according to his deeds, his workers. You see this? It's clear contradiction. You're going to take the mic and preach to us the Bible? Answer the question. It's very clear. Rome 2:13, for not the herald of the law are just before God, but the door of the law shall be justified. Very clear. That's work or no work, deed or not deed. He contradicts his own self. He contradicts his own self. It's not only his own self. He contradicts Jesus Christ, and he also contradicts James, the brother of Jesus Christ. Wait. In John 5:28, more than that, as this, the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Listen, their sins shall focus, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, into the resurrection of the nation. Everybody, according to his own deeds, his work, what he did in his life on earth. If he did good, you go into heaven. If he did bad, you go into his fire. According to his deeds and works. Again, I will say it again. More than that, at this, when the hour is coming, in the which, all that are in the age, shall hear his voice. I shall come forth. They that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, good, these workers, unto the resurrection of the nation. It belongs to the religion of Jesus, of Paul. It's not the religion of Paul. Paul said, without deeds, without workers. Jesus said, no. Workers and deeds is not the same religion. It's a different religion. And with all respect to you, you and every Christian in the earth follow Paul and do not follow Jesus Christ. You Paul follower and not Christ follower. Also James, they contradict James. And the book of James 2:14. What does this prophet, my brethren, John a man, say he has faith. And have not worked. Can faith save him? He needs it million times. Can faith save him? No, cannot. He cannot. In the book of James, in the book of James, 2:17, even so, faith, It has not worked. It did begin alone. Again. Even so, faith, if it has not worked, it did begin alone. So it's a clear introduction. The teaching of St. Paul is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's not the teaching of Jesus, the brother of Jesus Christ. It's not. He has his own religion. He has his own religion. Now, The man described himself. I would like you to hear. I would like you to hear how the man describes himself. He spoke of his father. He spoke of his father. How the man describes himself? Listen. From his mouth. What? Room, chapter 3:7, room 3:7. That is the truth of God has more abundant through my Lord, through my Lord, unto glory. Why yet I am also judged as a sinner. The man admits is a liar. One. Two. The second letter, for Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 16. But be it is so, I do not burden you. Nevertheless, being thirsty, 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 being thirsty, I quote with a glow. I quote with glow. The man has made is a thirsty. The man has made is a thirsty. Now, the first law of Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 19, for God, I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And as the Jews, I become as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. The man is a hypocrite. He admits he is a hypocrite. He changes colors. And as the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, are under the gain the Jews. To them that are under the law are under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Begin without, not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Hypocrite! Christians are sinners. They make everybody happy. They please anyone. To weak, I become weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things so, to all men, that I might, by all means, save some. The man, it should be forward. And this I do, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker together with you. The man is a hypocrite. Hypocrite. Now, the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 33. Verse of Corinthians 10, verse 3. Even as I please all men, in all things, he pleases everybody, he was hypocrite, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. He pleases everybody. Now, second letter for Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 11. I am become a fool, fool, foolish. People and people foolish. In glory, you have condemned me, for I also have been commanded of you. For in nothing I am, behind the very abatement, so I be nothing. He admitted the foolish. Now, second to Corinthians, 11:1. What to be God you could bear with me, elected, in my folly. He's a foolish. He admitted the foolish. And indeed there is me. Rome chapter 7, verse 15. Rome 7, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I want that do, I not, but that I need that I do. If then I do that which I do not, I consent unto the Lord that it is good. Now it isn't, now that it is no more, I let do it. The sin that dwells in me, the man admits he is a sinner, the sin inside him. For I know that in me, dwells no good sin. The man admits there is nothing good in inside him. No, absolutely nothing. How many minutes I have? Thank you very much. Give me 1 minute, please. Okay. 1 minute, please. Okay. Give me just 1 minute, please. Okay. Now, I would like to go to It's the work of... Okay. Can you just wait 1 minute, please? Just 1 minute. I'm looking for the sunglasses. I cannot find them. Look at the in the book of... It's the work of Paul, the same. Say the God Almighty. I would like you to go to the book of Personal of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 25. Listen what he says. Now concerning David, I have no command of the Lord. I have no command of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment. It's the judgment of somebody with the word of God Almighty. He admits that he has no command from the Lord. Second. Now, in the book of Personal of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 7:40, it says, but she is happier if she to abide after my judgment. And I think also, I think that I have the Spirit of God. He thinks, his judgment, his opinion, is the opinion of him, is the word of God Almighty. The first law of Corinthians, 7:12, but to the rest speak, I am not the Lord, if any brother has wife that believes not and shall be blessed to do with him, let him not put him away. He said clearly, it's not the word of God. He is teaching himself. Now, how many minutes I have reached? 2 minutes great. And the book of second book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 16, 17, it says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, let other fool receive me. The man he called himself foolish. But this is the question. Listen. Number 17, 11, 17, that what I speak, I speak it not after the Lord. I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the containment of those things. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the confidence of those things. It is in the front of everybody. You church, forgive me, eyewitness, and here witness, God was good in the way to Damascus, you felt to answer the three congregations about the vision when Paul admits that he saw Jesus Christ, and this crystal clear, the man was alive, the man even admitted is alive, in room 37. And now this is an apart of everybody in the room that the man was a liar, the man never met Jesus Christ. Second, it means the entire gospel is not the word of God. Why? Because Paul wrote 13 letters, the gospel of Luke, his student, after the apostle, his student. It means the gospel is not the word of God, it's the word of Paul, and Paul never saw Jesus, he was alive. My sister, so I take the mic. Admin, are you here? The debate is finished. Admin, are you here? Do you have time for question or you have enough? Do you have a time for question or you have enough? That's you, no problem. Do you have a time for question or you have enough? You have time for question, okay. Who's the admin right now? Who's gonna say it? Who's gonna say it's brain? Who's his brain? Who can have the, balance you speak with English, you can have the control if you don't mind. Balance, can you take the mic? Okay. Question, no comment, and no debate. If somebody want to debate me, I am willing to debate him another time. But now it's only question, and the question is only in 1 minute. Where's the messages?
Hi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fi akhi al-islam. Am I heard, brothers and sisters? Please clap one. Okay. Okay, now for any Christian who want to ask any question, they can send their questions on my DM or any other admin's DM. And if we have any brother or sister who want to ask, just DM me, please. If Brother Jesus Muslim is here, Brother Cairo, do you want to ask a question? Okay. Go ahead, brother. The mic is yours. Please, the question is for 1 minute and the answer is for two minutes, okay? Go ahead, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The question is for Mr. McCain. Did I understand you well when you said that first we have to believe and then we have to understand? This is exactly what I understood. But how can I believe without understanding? Did I get the question, Mr. McCain? I cannot believe in something unless I understand what I'm believing in. And what you said in the debate is that first we have to believe and then we're going to understand. Can you please clarify this? Thank you.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Cairo. Thank you for that question. Well, I hope it did not come across that way, because actually what I said was that none can believe. No man can believe. And it's only by God's working that we become saved, and then we are given the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits is faith, but that comes after salvation. No one is called upon to believe to be saved. Now, there's a good scripture in Luke 24, and Jesus was walking with some of the disciples on a road to Emmaus. And it says in verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And in verse 32, while he opened to us the scriptures, that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can all hear the Bible with our physical ears. We can all read the Bible with our physical eyes, those of us that have sight. But to perceive spiritually, Jesus must save us and open up our understanding, opening up our spiritual eyes.
Well, thank you, Mr. McCain. Brother Wissam, the mic is yours to comment on the question. Mic is yours, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You see, as I mentioned before, actually the Christians do not follow Jesus Christ, they follow Paul. They are the power of Paul, not Jesus Christ. See, Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 10, Romans 10, 10, he says, for which the heart of man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. It's good enough right now. It's good enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. This confess that Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, you have salvation. You have salvation. You don't need anything. You don't need workers. You don't need anything. As I said before, and I mentioned before, in the book of Galatians, chapter 15, now that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He repeats the same thing again. In the book of Romans, chapter 3:28, therefore, we show that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Again, there is very important verse by him too, that salvation is free. It's free. Salvation is free. You don't need to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24, it says, he is justified freely, by his grace, freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. This Christian faith, he contradicted himself. Where? Now, in the book of Romans 2:6, he says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And again, in Rome 2:13, it says, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers, the one who acts, the one who has these works, the doer of the law shall be justified. But he contradicts himself. Now, he also contradicts Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 28-29, it says, not as this, that thou art coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and that they have done evil, done, good works could be, done evil unto the resurrection of the nation. This is not the same. This is Jesus Christ, is the opposite of teacher of all. Also, the teaching of James, the brother of Jesus Christ, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, what God is good, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has done not works, can faith save him? Can faith save him? It is not under discussion. No, he cannot. Again, number 17, it says, James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead. Faith, without works, is dead. Being alone, my Joseph. The teaching of Jesus Christ, the teaching of James, the brother of Jesus Christ, is not the teaching of God. Go ahead, my Joseph.
Okay, thank you, Brother Hussein. May Allah reward you for this. Up until now, all the questions that I have on my private messages are from Muslims. I'm just wondering if there are any Christian who want to ask any questions. Please PM me, send me a private message. Any Christian. Okay, I have here Abu Harun. Brother Abu Harun, you can go ahead, the mic is yours, and please, the question must be in topic. Go ahead, brother, the mic is yours.
I will ask you, Assalamualaikum, can you hear me? Okay, Jazakallah khair. I would like to ask Mr. Mathana a question regarding Paul. As an ex-Christian, ask this question repeatedly, and I still hope that somebody will give me an answer. Why, in light of this evidence, why we should follow the teachings of Paul and the evidence that I put on the text? Why we should follow Paul and those who follow him based on this evidence? Is it a fair to believe that Jesus had more authority than Paul, and therefore what Paul proposes to us and those of you who follow him does not contradict Jesus, and why we should believe Paul instead of Jesus? Thank you, Mr. McCain.
Well, if I understand your question right, you're saying,
Mr. McCain, are you there? Can you hear me? Mr. McCain, if you can hear me, please type one on a text, sir. Mr. McCain, obviously you're having a problem. Brother Wissam, would you like to take the mic and answer this question or comment on it? Mr. McCain, can you hear me? Okay. I don't know what is the problem. I can see you in the room right now, but I don't know if you can hear me or not. Okay, Brother Wissam, do you want to go? Am I heard, brothers and sisters? Okay, right now, Mr. McCain is not here to answer this question. He's here in the room, but he obviously can't hear anything. Okay, go ahead, Brother Wissam, the mic is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you can hear the right one, believe it, the sound is good. He came back. Did he come back? Is he here? Mr. McCain came back. Yes? He's still in the room. Can you hear us? Mr. McCain, can you hear us? Mr. McCain, can you hear us? Ah, he's still here, he never leaves. Okay. There is any question I would like to ask any question about the same topic? Any Christian have a question about the same topic? Okay, did any admin receive a question from Christian? Any admin receive a question from Christian? I guess that's it. That's it. I'm glad everybody, and may Allah reward everybody, and but I guess that's it. The mic is yours, brother.
Paul is the writer of Romans, the brilliant Apostle Paul, not Tertius. Tertius was just a scribe. He was used by Paul. Paul dictated to Tertius. Well, that's exactly the point. You see, we don't give Tertius the credit for writing Romans, because it was not his mind that wrote the words. It did not come out of his mouth. He was like a human instrument, a scribe who just wrote down the words that Paul dictated to him. Now, when God says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, these statements are letting us know that God wrote the Bible. Paul is a scribe. Moses is a scribe, etc. All the human authors are no more than scribes. They were moved. They could not help but write what God moved them to write. And when we understand that, then we realize there's only one author of the Bible, and it's not Paul, and it's not any other human writer, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God himself.
Okay, well, was that it? I don't know if you finished or not, Mr. McCain. Are you finished? Okay, go ahead, brother. We'll send the mic is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Actually, I'm very sad. Why I'm very sad? Because we put Paul in the same status as Prophet Moses. He put him in the same status. He considered Paul like Moses. Who does him in the same status? Anyway, you mentioned something is not right, is not correct, is inaccurate. He said about the letter of, second letter of Timothy, chapter 3:16. Second letter of Timothy, 3:16, it says, and this is not the word of God Almighty. He said God, it's not God. God did not write this. Jesus did not write this. It's the word of Paul, not Jesus, not God. He said, Paul said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. You see, now all Christians, they believe that Paul was talking about the whole entire Bible. This is a big lie. Why is it a big lie? Because every Christian on earth, especially the Christian scholars, knows the first written Christian books or letters was the letter of Paul. When Paul was alive, the New Testament was not there. He was not talking about the New Testament. Maybe he was talking about the Old Testament, but the New Testament was not there. So do not tell me that Paul was talking about the entire whole Bible, because the New Testament was not there. The first writing on Christianity is the letter of Paul. How can Paul write about the New Testament, and the New Testament was not even exist? Was not even exist. It's a big lie. And do not tell us the writing of Paul is the writing of Jesus Christ or the writing of God Almighty. Because it is not. But the man himself said. The man himself said. True. And then I will say that again. I would like everybody to go again now. So the book of 2nd letter of Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 17, it says, that which I speak it not after the Lord, not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly
in this confidence of both things. The man admits what he says is not the word of God. So we see again, in the book of the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 12, it says that to the rest speak, I am not the Lord. Very clear. It's very clear. But to the rest speak, I am not the Lord. So it's very clear from the mouth of St. Paul that what he said is not the word of God. It's his own word, his own opinion, and you know, you want to put it in us, everything he said, Paul is the word of God. That's the message of the word.
Thank you, Brother Wissam. May Allah reward you for this. Okay, Mr. McCain, I just want to say something that Abu Haroon, the one who asked the previously answered question, sent me a PM, and his PM, I'll paste it, I'll post it to the text here so you can see it. And he's telling me, sir, to answer his question, so obviously he thought that he didn't answer his question. Okay, unbelievable, still not a Christian, not a one Christian called me on my PM to ask a question, so all I'm having here are just Muslims, so I really don't have a choice but to go on. And, Bintul Islam, are you ready? Bintul Islam, are you ready? Type one on the text, if you ready for a question. Okay, sister, the mic is yours. Go ahead, sister, Bintul Islam, try again. And this time, raise up your voice a little bit.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have a friend who wants to try and read me this. Brother Muhammad Ibn, the first one of the line, please. You go on.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I want to thank Mr. McCain, or Reverend McCain, for preaching to us. And my question goes like so. If we quote Paul speaking on forgiveness of trespasses in Ephesians, I believe it's 1:7, yes, if the brothers could put it, Ephesians 1:7. He's saying, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. This is Ephesians 1:7. He's saying also in Rome 4:25, who has put death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Okay? But we quote the Christ saying in Matthew 6, both 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I would like your comments on this verses, and thank you.
All right. Thank you for bringing these up. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That here, this is a verse that is pointing to the fact that Jesus shed his blood. Now, the shedding of blood points to the fact that he gave up his life. In Leviticus, it says the life is in the blood. And so, as Jesus gave up his life, he experienced the wrath of God, the equivalent or equal to an eternity in hell for his people. Also, in Ephesians 1, it says in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And God made choice. He decided before the world began who he was going to save. He decided he would save knowing all things, knowing that man would fall into sin. He made a decision to save a certain select or elect group from mankind, from amongst all the nations of the world, all the peoples of the world, but but these are the ones God will save. And when they do become saved, it'll be through the blood or the life that Christ will give for them, and this will produce forgiveness of sins. You see, the problem is that the law of God is condemning each one of us for our failure to keep it. We have transgressed, we have broken the law. And so there must be penalty, there must be payment made for this transgressing the law. Now, either man himself will make this payment, or pay this penalty by going to hell and suffering forevermore, because the wages of sin is death, the second death of eternal damnation, or Jesus is the substitute, and we read in the Bible, he bore our sins, that is the sins of his people, upon himself when he offered up himself, when he gave his life for his elect. And so there can be salvation. God is just. There must be payment for sin. But God does recognize and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the substitute. Now, the other verse you mentioned was Romans 4, verse 25. And speaking of Jesus, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Christ became sin for us. Now, I always want to clarify and condition what is meant by us, because there's a false teaching that is promoted by many false Christian churches that Jesus died for the sins of everyone, of the whole world. And that is totally false. He did not die for the sins of every single person. If he had died for the sins of every single person, then everyone would become saved. Everyone would go into heaven. But we know that hell is going to be heavily populated. There will be a great many of individuals. The vast majority of mankind will find themselves in hell. And what happened? Weren't their sins forgiven? Didn't Jesus pay for them? No, he never paid for one of them. He paid for the sins of his people that were predetermined before the foundation of the world. And each and every one of them, without fail, perfectly, will find salvation. They will be drawn irresistibly by the Word of God, the Bible. And by the Bible, God will save them. Now, Jesus was delivered for our offenses, that is, for our sins, but he was raised again for our justification. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, when he rose up from the grave, it was a tremendous testimony that he had won victory over...
I'm very sorry, Mr. McCain, but your time is up, and you're actually off topic. Brother Wissam, go ahead, the mic is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The question was about forgiveness. And very clear from the Old Testament, I mean, the New Testament, that if you ask God forgiveness, Allah, God Almighty will forgive you. Let me give you some verses from the Bible. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, it says, and if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will hear their land. God Almighty, he doesn't need to come in earth and get beat up, because he cannot forgive the sin of Adam from heaven. He has to come in earth and get beat up and get killed, because he is not able or capable to forgive the sin of Adam from heaven. Also, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 7, it says,
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man has thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God Almighty forgives the sin. God Almighty has not, he doesn't have to come and interject it or kill his church because he cannot forgive the sin from heaven. Again, same thing. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20, 18, 20, it says, the soul that sin, it shall die. The son shall not bear the sin of the father, neither the father shall bear the sin of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Nobody carries the sin of another. Nobody will not carry the sin of Adam. And actually, you are talking about the sin of Adam, the way in the Bible Jesus said Adam. Give me just one verse. Jesus mentioned the word of Adam in his tongue. Or Jesus said, I came because of the sin of Adam. Or Jesus said, I came because of the original sin. It's not there. It's not just the confession. It's not the teaching of Jesus Christ. And Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, Deuteronomy 24, 16, the father shall not be put to this for the children. Neither shall the children be put to this for the father. Every man shall be put to this for his own sin. Every man shall be put to this for his own sin. Again, Jesus said, in the book of Matthew, Jesus himself, chapter 9, I think verse 12, yes, 9:12, Jesus said, listen to this, but when Jesus said that, he said unto them, that they had beheld made no opposition, but they that are sick, number 15, but go you and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God Almighty doesn't need to dominate and kill himself, or God Almighty doesn't have to send his son to die as sacrifice for us. The same thing we found in the book of Hosea 6:6, it says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God are more than burnt offerings. The mic is yours, brother.
Okay, thank you, Brother Wissam. May Allah reward you for that. Brother Fonzie, are you ready? If you're ready, please pop on our text. Okay, the mic is yours, brother.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and reward Brother Hussain and guide our guests to righteousness.
The question is fairly easy. The question is fairly easy for Mr. McCain. I hope you have an answer for that, and it's not something that he doesn't have an answer, like all these questions that Brother Hussain have posted to him during the debate. And of course, I don't mean anything by that except what it means, and I say it in good faith. The question is, according to the Bible, according to Book of Acts, Jesus appeared to Paul and told him, I'm going to send you to the nations. I'm going to send you and save you to the nations. However, we see Book of Acts 21, the disciples among them, and the head of disciples, saying to Paul that it came to the attention of the people that are here, which are Jews, that you are teaching the Jews among the nations to forsake Moses and not to circumcise their children. This is in direct violation of the law. How do you answer that, Mr. McCain? If Paul himself claimed to be a messenger to the Gentiles. Why is he, or why was he, preaching among the Jews, telling them to forsake Moses, in direct disobedience to Jesus, who supposedly have told him, go to the Gentiles? I stated my question very slowly so that you may hear it good and answer it directly. Thank you, Brother Wells. The mic is yours.
Okay, Mr. McCain, are you there, sir? Did you hear the question? Type 1 on the text, please, if you can hear me now. Okay, sir, the mic is yours.
Yes, thank you. One thing I would suggest for this room, if you're going to have an open forum where you're going to take questions, I think you should do it honestly by unred dotting everyone and just allowing people to raise their hands so that then they can form and you can just take from the very top all the way down. And it seems to me most of the admins seem to get the preferential treatment here in asking the questions. But I will say that God did commission the Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles. But does that mean that Paul could not minister the gospel to any individual? That would be ridiculous. It would be ridiculous to think that he was limited to speaking only to the Gentiles. So and each true believer is called upon to witness to every soul that we're with, whether Jew or Gentile. It makes no difference. There's no disobedience whatsoever on Paul's part in sharing the gospel to the Jews when he's amongst Jews. That is a ridiculous idea.
Okay, Mr. McCain. Before I give the mic to Brother Wissam, I just want to make something clear for you and for everyone in this room and any other room here in this debate, that we made it very clear before the questions. We made it very clear for everyone, not just for Muslims or admins or anyone. We made it clear for everyone, Christians or Muslims, if they need to ask a question, they contact me or any other admin on their BMs. And I have right now 30 persons, 30 Muslims who want to ask you, and none of them actually, not even one Christian wanted to ask a question. So please, sir, don't interfere with the way the debate is going and just answer your questions like Brother Wissam do. Brother Wissam, the mic is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Actually, I'm very surprised. I'm wondering too that Richard McCain, he has no answer. Now he accuses the brother that his question is ridiculous. It is like a stupid question or something. Why? Because you have no answer for it? Why? Because you have no answer? The question is valid. It's really valid. Now, look. Paul himself said in the book of Romans, chapter 11, 13, he said, for I speak to you Gentiles, in so much as I am the apostle, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. He admitted. And Jesus supposed told him in this vision, as he came, in the book of Acts 22, he told them that he sent them also to 22:17, delivering the day from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee again, and delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. These are direct order from Jesus Christ. Order him to go to the Gentiles, to teach the Gentiles, as he claimed. And himself admits that it is the apostle, a messenger to the Gentiles. In this case, while he is teaching the Jews to forsake Moses and forsake the law, the Old Testament. And it's not only that. The one who says that is the apostles of Jesus Christ. His messengers, all of them, even Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 21, verse 20. Chapter 21, verse 22. 20, 21, it says. And when they heard it, it means that the messenger of Jesus Christ is apostles. They go past the Lord and said unto us, Paul, thou see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are the zealots of the law, and they are on firmament of thee. Talk about you. Thou, teach all the Jews, which are among Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise the children, neither to walk after the customs. So it is. The man who was a hypocrite and a liar. The man who came, he was an apostle for the Gentiles, and he go around and pray and go to the Jews, teaching the Jews, to forsake Moses, and to forsake the Torah, and to forsake the Old Testament. Right is your judgment.
JazakAllah khair, Akhi Hussam. Thank you, Brother Hussam. May Allah reward you for this. Okay, again, any Christian here in this room who wants to ask any question, who wants to ask Brother Hussam any question, please PM me or any other admin in the room. I'm making this very clear for everyone. Okay, I have here Brother... Okay, I have here Brother Salafi Forever. Type 1, please. If you're ready, type 1, please. Salafi Forever. Okay, go ahead, the mic is yours. Question, please, is on topic.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I just want to ask one question to the American missionary. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:10, he said, to the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. And again, in the same chapter, but verse 12, he said, to the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. So, if you are American preacher, if you are saying that the teaching of Paul are exactly the same as what Jesus taught, now, why did Jesus say in verse 10, not I, but the Lord? And in the next verse, I, not the Lord. Why did he say like this? And again, if you are saying that the Bible is word of God, how can this word of Paul, I mean in that verse 12, to the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. How can this be word of God? By the way, do you accept that this verse can never be word of God as what Paul said? Okay, that's
for
my question.
Mr. McCain, go ahead. Mic is yours.
Okay, thank you very much for that excellent question, because it is a good question. How does Paul make a statement like this? And let me read it again, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And we do find statements like this where Paul is making it sound as though he is saying something that is not God's commandment. But actually, we understand it once we realize that he is letting us know that the Lord did speak about marriage. For example, in Matthew 19, Jesus addressed the whole issue of marriage and divorce, but he did not get into every detail about marriage, and so Paul is filling out some more. It's all the Word of God. It's all God's commandments, but Christ did not specifically address these particular points that the Apostle Paul is going to address. And that's how we understand it. And that's how we have harmony with these statements, and we realize that, yes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single word in every book.
Okay. Brother Wissam, mic is yours.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I do not understand what it is. I mean, what do you mean? I mean, you know better than Paul, you speak better than him. I mean, the man had faith. Very specific. His teaching is not the teaching of God Almighty. It's not the teaching of God. Look over here. In the book of Petra of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 25, 7:25. Now concerning religion, I have no commandment of the Lord. I have no commandment of the Lord. The man is frankly, he speaks frankly. It's not the word of God Almighty. Yet I give my judgment, my opinion. Is this the word of God? The man said, this is not the word of God. This is my own opinion. That's what he said. You know him better than himself? I don't understand this. Again, in the book of the first Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 12, but to the rest speak, I, not the Lord. I, not the Lord. It's very clear. That's very clear. Again, we go back to 2 Corinthians 11:17. 2 Corinthians 11:17. It says, he admit also, this is not the word of God Almighty, that which I speak it not after the Lord, not after the Lord, but as it will foolishly in this confidence of boasting. It's clear. The case is crystal clear. The man himself admits more than one time, this his opinion is not the word of God, is not order from God Almighty.
Okay. Again, is there any Christian here who wants to ask Brother Wissam any question about the debate? Please PM me or any other admin in the room. Okay. I have here again, Brother Freethinker. Freethinker, are you ready? Type one in the text, please. Okay, go ahead. Mic is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I greet you, Mr. McKay. I hope you can answer my question. In Galatians 2:11, Paul speaks about Peter. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his faith because he was in the wrong. And this is the man that Jesus Christ called, the man I will build my church on. Paul called him wrong. He says he was afraid of the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. So Peter is a hypocrite and Paul is a good guy. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. So the disciples of Jesus Christ, the original disciples, are all now gone wrong, and Paul is the real guy. He is the greatest guy. Now, my problem is that in Jude 4, it says Jude, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, is really complaining. Certain men whose condemnation has been written about long ago have secretly slipped among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. How do you know that this guy, Paul, is not actually among those guys who slipped secretly into Christianity and started to change the word into a license of immorality? Thank you very much. I hope that is clear enough. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Thank you for this question. Now, first of all, there is a big misunderstanding, and one church fosters that misunderstanding about Peter. Peter is a believer. He was an apostle, but he's no more than that. He could commit sin as well as anybody. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, the rock in view is not Peter, but it is Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that there can be no other foundation other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7, we read that one must build their house upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that it says clearly, if you would turn there, that rock was Christ. So to think that Peter is the first pope and there are a succession of popes following is totally erroneous. It's a totally wrong idea that one church has fostered. Now in Jude, where it says certain men have crept in unawares and were before ordained to this condemnation, that is a reference to those that enter into the churches and they become bishops or popes or priests or ministers or reverends, but they've never become saved, and so they are ungodly men. They're going to face the judgment of God. God is no respecter of persons, and a professing Christian can end up in hell eternally if they're not truly saved, just as easily as a professing Muslim can end up in hell. So there's no problem at all with saying, and there's no possibility that Paul is in view with this language in Jude, because Jesus established Paul, commissioned Paul, and confirmed him. Paul taught the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. There's no way that it's even a remote possibility that Paul is in view.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McCain. Before I give the mic to your brother Wissam, I just want to say that the management right now moves to Admin Cairo 56 because I have to go. And before I go, I want to tell you, Mr. McCain, personally, thank you for giving us this opportunity. And I hope that we can have some other debates with you next time and the soon time. So the mic is yours, Brother Wissam, and Brother Cairo, you have the management of the debate. Go ahead, Brother Wissam, the mic is yours.
It's unbelievable. Richard McCain understands better than Jesus Christ and understands better than the Apostle of Jesus Christ, and he can tell us what they mean. He can explain the Bible better than them. Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, as the brother mentioned over here, chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I say also unto thee, he's talking to Peter, thou that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not rock. Now if you know the rock is not Peter. Are you telling us Jesus Christ is a lie? Are you telling us Jesus Christ is a liar? He lied to us? Do you understand better than your Lord Jesus Christ? And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt build on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt load in earth shall be loaded in heaven. Is it clear? You're going to prevent us? It's from the mouth of Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? He doesn't mean that. What? He doesn't mean that. What? Let me tell somebody, give the question. He doesn't mean that. He does not mean that. He does not. What is this? This is not answer the question. Now,
You're telling about Saint Paul. Saint Paul is a liar. The man is a liar. He admits he is a liar. Look the book of Rome, chapter 7. Chapter 3, verse 7, Rome 3, 7. The man admits he is a liar. For it says the truth of God has more abundance through my lie. My lie. My lie. Unto his glory. Why? Yes, I am also judged as a sinner. The man admits he is a liar. Second, the man is lying. I put him in a lie. The man who studied you, he saw Jesus Christ on the road of Damascus, and never had it. He admits himself that he never saw Jesus Christ. Read the book of Acts, verse 22, chapter 22, chapter 22, verse 11, Acts 22, 11. And when I could not see, I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. The man confessed that he was Jesus Christ. The light made him a blind. He cannot see. How he can see Jesus Christ? And the theory about the vision into Jesus Christ, the theory is actually the hoax. Why? Because it contradicts itself. The story mentioned in three sections in Acts of the Apostles, mentioned in Acts number 9, Acts number 22, Acts number 26. And each story contradicts itself. One, did the people come within words of us? Yes, Acts 9 said. No, Acts 22 9. Did the people come within fall to the ground? Yes, Acts 26 14. No, Acts 9 said. Did he told them? Did the voice told them exactly what he has to do in the same spot? Yes. Acts 26, 15, 18. No. Acts 9, 6. Acts 22, 10. I'm sorry. And when somebody asks you a question, you have no answer. He said, ridiculous. This question is ridiculous. Come on, brother. What do you respect? Don't be upset at me. Don't get mad at me. Your face is blind face. But anyway, thank you very much for your brightness, for you being with us tonight, and I would like everybody in the room to understand that every single thing I said is from the Bible. Every single thing I said is from the Bible. Paul is a liar by his own admission. Rome 17. Now I would like to be grateful to the admin of the room, every one single one of them, the one who controls the room, the one who writes, the one who writes the verses, the one who takes the time. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. And jazakum Allah khair, wa barakallahu fikum, wa ahsan Allah alaykum. Mr. McCain, thank you very much for your time, spend with us. And if you would like, we can have another debate about if there is any prophecy about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament.